I'm Will Griffin, and this is live in Studio C at Classical 91.1 and WFCL. It's going to be a little bit of a different program today. We have one artist with us, and his name is Stephen Seifert, and he plays the dulcimer, or many dulcimers, I should say, the mountain dulcimer and maybe a Piedmont dulcimer, I don't know. Stephen, good to see you again.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for having me.
It's a little bit different than a straight classical program today. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell people who you are and a little bit about what you do.
Well, here's what a dulcimer sounds like, briefly. My name's Stephen Seifert. I've been playing the mountain dulcimer, I guess, professionally for almost 25 years. I just discovered it for myself when I was 16. And got to play and tour with David Schnaufer and have just been immersed in this dulcimer world, which is not really obvious. It's not obvious that it exists to most people, but this is what I've been doing most of my life.
Well, it has a unique sound and a very sweet sound.
I like it. I like it definitely brings your blood pressure down, I think. That's got to be worth something.
Something really very emotionally effective about the drone that is the base of the fingerboard on the dulcimer.
Yeah.
Give a little demonstration of that droney thing. I don't know what that is.
If you have a good instrument, which isn't expensive, and you get it in tune, and you strum it without doing anything else to it, this is what you get. That's the drone. It reminds me of bagpipes, hurdy-gurdies.
Right. There's something ancient and profound about that sound that just pulls you in, I think.
I mean, I know this. A lot of what I do is traditional American, but originally, as a 16-year-old, I really liked listening to Indian classical music, Ravi Shankar, all that kind of stuff, because you have a drone, and then you have a melody, you know, and then a rhythm sometimes. I feel like when I play this, I get to have all that in one box.
Well, let's hear a piece.
Sure. Thank you.
a perfect piece to display the sweet, soft, maybe even spiritual qualities of the mountain dulcimer. Stephen Seifert playing the great hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, unless I miss my ears.
That's it. That's a good one. I like it because it just, when I teach folks, it, a lot of this melody just starts low and walks up through the scale and walks back down. It's a good one.
Well, you came out of Kentucky, didn't you? Is that correct?
I grew up in Erlanger, Kentucky. Went to Dixie Heights High School, not far from Turkey Foot Road. And I grew up on Creekside Circle. Northern Kentucky's not, you know, as southern Kentucky, but we've certainly got the right street and school names, I think.
Well, the dulcimer is associated with Appalachia, which maybe isn't Northern Kentucky, but nevertheless, it's not that far away. And so you're kind of at home with this instrument, obviously.
There's a great history to it. My favorite part of the history of it is I imagine people having busy lives and they wanted music in their life. And especially before 1900, I mean, imagine having just an instrument in the house that you could pull down and just make a little music on. My mentor, David Schnaufer, used to say he thought everybody in the old days probably could play a little of something.
That's most likely true. And it's a very simply designed and constructed instrument, so it's easy to get hold of, as they say.
Yeah. The kind I'm playing, definitely, this is an American-styled instrument. When I was on the show last time, we talked about it being basically a zither, which is a type of instrument. We've essentially got a box with strings going over it, and you have frets like a guitar. But I imagine that ultimately this kind of instrument is so simple that it could have been invented by anybody in multiple places and multiple timelines. You know, it's one of the simplest way to take strings and get a sound out of them. The veena in India, I think, you know, is similar to this in some ways. I see things like this all over the earth. And just today I was on a website looking at a dulcimer that showed up on eBay from the 1880s, probably out of Virginia. So I love the history of it. I love the photographs and the stories, and it's kind of an underappreciated instrument. It's not featured much, you know, when you look at books of music and that kind of stuff. But I think it's, David called it, my friend Jerry Rockwell calls it a possibility box. David talked about it being a sonic wilderness. But I think it's so basic sometimes that it flies under the radar of popular music.
It's hard to imagine that there's anyone who doesn't really know what a dulcimer is, but maybe there are many people who've never even heard the name of the instrument, let alone the instrument. But, you know, Google it or whatever. It's a beautifully shaped instrument, very elegant and slender and shapely. So, speaking of simplicity, I have to tell our listeners, since this isn't video, that Steve has put a dulcimer in my lap, and we're going to do something, but I'm not sure what. Maybe demonstrate the simplicity, how easy it is to make some sounds on this instrument.
I think so. And I know you play some music, but I'm going to pretend you know nothing about music. So I've tuned this instrument. I've put it in his lap. The strings are facing the ceiling. He's got a pick in his right hand. And let me hear you just strum across the strings going away from you just one time. Let's just listen to that drone. Yeah. Now, if you're alone at home and you need to just chill out a little bit, that right there can get it started. But I want to bring your other hand into it. The dulcimer is really cool because the wrong notes have been removed. You actually, as you go from fret to fret, you hear a scale. So you pick out one of those frets that's closest to you and just strum it once. Yeah, and he's just pushing down on the string. Hit it again, same note. So let's play a slow melody, and a simple formula for a simple melody is usually the next note is a neighboring note. I'm gonna play along with you on this. Thank you. that's good.
My first Dulcimer lesson.
It's good.
I have to get one of these.
Now, I help people play songs they know, but what I love to do is put this in somebody's lap, show them how easy it is to make up a melody. The wrong notes have been removed. You move your left hand left and right. Usually your next note is a neighboring note to where you already are, and you can play slow and really focus on the core experience of what it means to be a musician. You can have your confidence because the instrument is not complicated and the wrong notes aren't there. And then you can be expressive. And I think when I work with children in schools, I often want to get across to them that you don't have to be a professional to make music. I love music from professionals. I have my whole life great stuff. But think about how important it is every day to get enough rest, to drink enough water, to sit down and just breathe deeply for a little bit. This simple music should be a part of everybody's life.
I really personally believe that's where the drone comes in.
Yeah.
Just if you lose your place when you're making up a melody, just do that a few times.
That's right. And I work with a lot of adults, all ages, but mostly over 55, I would say, is my the core group. I've done over 600 Dulcimer festivals in the United States over the last 20 years or so. And I often deal with somebody who's maybe had a father early on that said, you sound terrible when you sing, you should never sing. Or, you know, they're taking piano lessons and the piano teacher says, you may not make up any music, you do what I say. You know, I get all these really ugly stories about early childhood musical experiences. And this is, the dulcimer is one way we can kind of bring a little healing to people. It's not like it's a bunch of magic. It's just simply reminding you, part of being a human is making music. And I love giving that to people. I love that you just sat there and made up something and we can feel good about it.
Well, let's hear another tune from you, Dave.
All right.
Not David, you're Stephen.
Yes, that's right. So often we're in the key of D, but not always. I'm going to give you a little taste. If you were to go to a festival or a little dulcimer group and you were just going to jam, there is a common repertoire. So I'll give you a little taste of just some of these southern rural fiddle tunes. I'll start with a little old Joe Clark.
Thank you.
So that's a bunch of tunes we play. Sometimes you'll have 20 people together. Sometimes you'll have 200 people playing together. And it's basically we're playing simpler versions of a lot of the fiddle tunes the bluegrassers would play.
I see. Dulcimer festivals happen all around in the summertime? Is that
mostly in the United States?
In the States?
Yeah. I recently went to one in England, which was great. Mostly in the United States. And I would say this year I didn't do as many as usual. I think I only did about 20 Dulcimer festivals in the last 10 months or so. But there's also Dulcimer clubs. So you'll have a group of people or maybe 15 people get together once a week. Afterwards, they go out to eat. And the books that people buy, the picks, the instruments, a lot of this stuff you will not see in a music store. Mm-hmm. If you get on eBay, you might not get the best stuff, you know. But if you go to one of these festivals, it's kind of, it reminds me of Grateful Dead for retired people. I always think of that. It's an underground musical world that's pretty darn active. We've got a magazine, Dulcimer Players News magazine.
Dulcimer builders show up with their wares and...
Yeah, you might have 20, 30 vendors at a large festival, maybe more.
Well, I know that you're also a collaborative artist. You work with so-called classical musicians and orchestras. Tell us a bit about that part of your life, if you'd like.
When I was 16, I got a CD by David Schnaufer. It was a little bit of a compilation. It was called Dulcimer Player Deluxe. And I think that's on iTunes. I know it's on Amazon Music for sure. But I had just gotten a dulcimer, and I was hearing the basic way to play it, and then I heard David Schnaufer's way. I was blown away by it, and I looked in the liner notes. It mentioned some Nashville things, but I really didn't know where he lived. My friend Brady was going to school at MTSU for engineering. I had already kind of decided that I didn't want to do classical and jazz piano performance as a major. So after working in a bakery for 6 months and a little bit of summer camp, I ended up in Murfreesboro working on audio engineering. And I ended up finding out David lived here, and we ended up getting together. And that's one of the most magical memories of my life. So you got somebody playing a dulcimer in a way that was just blowing. You know, I mean, at 16, I guess I went from 16 to 20. Didn't know much about David. But being able to hang out with him and learn from him and ask him questions about the different songs and the history of the instrument and the different players over the last 40, 50 years, this was one of the most magical times of my life. David ended up working with Connie Ellisor on a piece, Blackberry Winter Concerto, which we talked about in the last interview. Go listen to that last interview. There's some good stuff on there. David ended up getting sick. In the middle of this, he had a diabetes was a problem, and he ended up going to Texas to heal up. And I remember he handed me a manila envelope, and it said, happy birthday, because our birthdays were one day apart. And so I ended up working feverishly to get ready to play with a full string orchestra, the Nashville Chamber Orchestra. Paul Gamble was conducting at the time. That was a huge challenge. I'd been in choir enough, so that helped, but to be in that environment of all those elastic tempos and having to pay attention to the conductor and the people around you, it was wild.
It's a different sound universe when you're with an orchestra, isn't it?
It's amazing. And I guess I would have felt silly about playing a dulcimer with an orchestra, except that I had read a lot about odd soloists in the past, like the fella that was a jaw harp soloist for a big part of his life. And David really believed in it. So I ended up being on that first recording. You can look on iTunes. Warner Classical, Conversations in Silence is the name of the album by the Nashville Chamber Orchestra. The piece is Blackberry Winter. Since then, I do it maybe once a year on average, sometimes more, and it still gets radio airplay after all these years.
And it's a very fine piece.
It's been wonderful to function in that world of classical music, and I've got a little bit of experience with it because of piano, but for the most part, I'm a stranger in a strange land. And it's exciting. Well,
it seems to work.
It's great. Yeah. It's great to sit there and turn around and look at everybody and realize I'm in the middle of an orchestra. But
in case you're just joining us, we're talking to Stephen Seifert live in Studio C today. Stephen is a wonderful dulcimer player. And, well, Stephen, any more tunes you got for you? You have about five different instruments with you today. So
yeah,
what's next?
Yeah, let's let them hear this old one. It's not that old, but it's patterned after an older design. This one is made by Warren May in Berea, Kentucky. You can look him up online. He's got a wonderful way of fretting the instruments. It's not the same as equal temperament. You can look that up too, but if you buy a modern guitar, it's fretted equal temperament. Your piano's tuned, for the most part, equal temperament. He frets these maybe the way they were fretted in the old days. I think they probably changed the fret location to get a sweeter interval sometimes. And so when you play this, you get really pure thirds, pure fifths. So I'll let you hear just a little bit of this Warren May. A pure third. A little bit of South Wind.
Lovely.
That was an Irish tune. David played that one a lot. I find myself eating meals to remember people in my life that are gone. My dad loved a good fatty hamburger grilled out. So when I eat a hamburger, I think of my dad. And when I play these old tunes I've learned from people or been told about or played with people, it's a lot like having a little meal, you know? Mm-hmm. That's crazy to say.
Well, you're
live
right. The tuning on that particular instrument is really very emotionally affecting with those very pure thirds.
Yeah. It's not strict just tuning. But this builder, Warren, has used his ears over the years to temper the scale according to his own desires. It's pretty neat. I've also got one here that's like a banjo.
Yeah, well, this is
so
a
you take a dulcimer
top.
And you put the bridge over a little drum head. And this is fun because you get the same playability of a dulcimer, but the sound of a banjo. Hmm. Anybody who's easily offended, you will definitely run them out of your life with this instrument. It's really good for that. But I even play it a little bit like Clawhammer. But this one's got extra frets on it. This one actually has the wrong notes on it. So you can get outside of the box a little bit with it. If you play it simply, like you were doing earlier, it's nice too. This was made by Mike Klimmer of Townsend, Tennessee, and he'll ship you one today, probably.
Does it have a name, that type of instrument?
Mike calls it a band jammer.
A band jammer. Okay. Yeah. That works.
It's so funny. I've done, every once in a while I get session work in Nashville and I can read the number system and do all that kind of stuff. But I haven't got a lot of it, you know. And whether I'm with the orchestra or these session players, I still feel, I'm honored to be in their presence. I have a great time. I think we make some good music, but I still always feel like a stranger. I'm somebody from another country, a musical country. And at first, I think when I was younger, it was hard. Because I wanted to just be one of the guys. But now I'm thankful because I've gotten to travel to all kinds of strange places. I don't think the Mountain Dulcimer is really part of any genre as far as bluegrass, blues, anything like that. But we get to travel to all these little musical countries, and it's good. It's a good life to travel, I think.
Well, you have at least one instrument you haven't played for us, I think. Is that correct?
I think so. I probably should have brought one today, but...
No. It's great to see all these different shapes and sizes and colors.
This one's made from Koa. Bob McGowan in Memphis, Tennessee made this. He's a retired engineer. A lot of the builders are... A lot of them are retired. They've decided they want to build, and... So you get to go eat with the person who's making your instrument. Mm. This one has one extra string, so I actually get... one extra note that I wouldn't normally have.
Stephen Seifert playing Beautiful Dreamer. The dulcimer is his instrument, and boy, does it lend itself to a lot of great old tunes.
Hey, you sounded good century, on it.
19th century and early 20th century especially.
It's nice for that stuff.
Right. If you've never seen one or played one, maybe there's something, a dulcimer in your life out there.
Look it up. We've got a club in town, the Grand Old Dulcimer Club. They call themselves. You can find them online. Dulcimer Players News Magazine, great publication. In an age of dying publications, it's doing pretty well. And dulcimerschool.com, I teach on, and do lessons here in town. Hey, if you're a producer, I challenge you to hire me. I will be in tune. I'll try my best.
Well, let me throw you a curve, Stephen. Do you have any of your own original tunes that you haven't played for us, or do you mostly just play pre-existing tunes?
I like to improvise a lot.
Yeah, so it's mostly that. Yeah.
When I get back from these dulcimer festivals, I like to play noise music down at Betty's sometimes.
Well, let's give a. Can we hear an example of what noise music is to you on the sweet sound
on WPLN?
Nashville Public Radio, yeah.
Noise music on WPLN?
Yeah, well, okay.
Okay, I'll start. Briefly. I'll start with a noisy intro and then I'll go into a little improv here. Okay. Stephen Seifert, an improvisation to close out his set live in Studio C. Well, it's a fascinating sound, and you obviously play it beautifully, and you know a lot about it. So we appreciate your sharing that with us. Thank you for giving me the timer today. It's been a pleasure. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Go find out what a dulcimer is, folks.
Get one in your lap. Make some music. It's not just Britney Spears.
It's really easy and simple and probably not that expensive either. So
you can get one for $100.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Will Griffin. Up next week, live in Studio C, music from artists from Appalachian State University. Appalachian State University. You have been talking about North Carolina and got me in the wrong place.
I've worked there.
Austin Peay State University.
Oh, there
right
you
here
go.
In Tennessee. We'll be here. Baritone Jeffrey Williams and composer Jeffrey Wood will be here next week, live in Studio C. I'm Will Griffin. Our thanks to Tennessee Arts Commission and the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee for their support of Classical 91.1 and Nashville Public Radio.